May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Close your books, clear your desk, and take out your pencils. It's pop quiz time. Years ago, when I was in school, those words used to terrify me, no matter whether I knew the material well or not. Ready or not, it was showtime. Every now and then, one of my teachers would mix it up and tell us to take out our textbooks for an open book exam. Now, that was always a little easier on the ears and the heart. How hard could it be? The answers are in the book. However, in thinking back on it, some of my toughest exams were open book. It still helped if you knew the material, but you soon found out that open book exams required you to dig deeper and to put the subject material into context with other information previously taught in class. There really were no shortcuts. Today's gospel reading from Matthew basically is an open book exam. The answers are there, but if I'd learned anything these past months, having had the privilege to preach from this pulpit, it is that the assigned scripture lessons and my understanding of them are like peeling an onion. The more you peel away, the closer you get to the good stuff. It's harder than it looks. I have found that I love this process and have been blessed through wrestling with God's Word and by recalling people in my life who have shared their faith with me and inspired me. Throughout my brief preaching career, Mother Paula has been my mentor and teacher and regularly sends me encouraging emails. The closer we get to a Sunday I'm preaching without my having sent my sermon draft for review, her emails take on a more urgent tone. My favorite was when she wrote, "Hank, it's time to dig deep." Now, Paula may not realize the impact on me of those two words, but dig deep has become my new mantra, a loving and challenging phrase that will stay with me the rest of my life. What a great message for each one of us. Now, let's start digging. Today, Jesus tells us a parable. This is the first time in Matthew's gospel that he has used this form of communication. Why now? To put this into context, let's go back and see what happened in the previous chapter. The confrontation between the Pharisees and Jesus heats up in Matthew's 12th chapter. The Pharisees charged that Jesus' disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath. Then Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath and also healed a man possessed by demons. Jesus handled all of their objections and showed them another way to live. Not their way, but God's way. The result was that the Pharisees became more intent on destroying Jesus. You'll notice that our gospel today is split. In verses 1 to 9, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. The gospel then jumps to verses 18 to 23, where Jesus explains the parable to his disciples and to us. Verses 10 to 17 are omitted, but they provide great insight into understanding why Jesus speaks in parables. We learn that Jesus, through this parable, challenges those who want to grow in understanding about God's kingdom and realizes that those who have no desire to seek God's kingdom will not understand the message of his parable. Another way of looking at this is to realize that the parable is not explained to those who do not become disciples. And in actuality, functions not as teaching, but as judgment on the crowds who are cast in the same manner as their leaders, the Pharisees. Now we're ready to look at the parable. A sower goes out to sow seeds in his plot of land by hand. The seeds fell on four different types of soil. As we heard in the gospel reading, the seeds fell on three unproductive areas. The hard path, where the birds came and ate them up. The rocky ground, where there was only a little soil, so the seeds sprang up quickly. But because roots couldn't be established, they were scorched by the sun and died. And ground where thorns and weeds grew up and choked out the good seed. The seeds also fell on one productive area, the good soil, where grain came forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and then 30-fold. Jesus begins the parable in a very ordinary way, talking about agriculture, in which the crowds of his day could easily relate. However, he concludes in an extraordinary way by talking about a crop yielding up to 100-fold. The normal crop yield in biblical times was approximately 7 to 10-fold. Even today, with expert farming methods, a standard crop yield would be 15 to 20-fold, with a 30-fold crop truly being bountiful. Thus, Jesus' parable begins in the common world we know and ends in God's world of hope and promise. In the latter half of our gospel, Jesus explains the parable by equating the types of soil with people. To me, it boils down to whether we listen to God's call to be his disciples and to strive for God's kingdom, or whether we don't. In the first three examples, Jesus describes people who do not understand God's kingdom in their heart, those who hear God's word with joy, but immediately turn away from God when the going gets tough. And finally, those who hear the word, but whose hearts are full of the love of money and the cares of the world, that they have no room in their hearts to love God. These three do not listen. However, the last people are those who do listen, who hear the word of God's kingdom and take it into their hearts, where they live by it, stake their lives on it, and share the love of God's kingdom to others. As we start to dig, the first question, the easy question that jumps out is, what type of soil are we? Obviously, we all want to be good soil. That is what we strive for. But are we? If I answer this question honestly, I am a mixture, constantly praying that God works on my hard, rocky, and thorny places. Also, the good news is that, like there are things we can add to the soil to make it better and richer, such as water and fertilizer, there are things we can do to help us grow in God's kingdom here on earth, like prayer, reading and studying the Bible, and sharing our faith with others on a daily basis. At St. Francis, we've been blessed with the development of a number of small groups in which we meet regularly and help each other grow in our faith. I'm a firm believer in the verse in Matthew 6, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." By focusing on Jesus through faith and sharing our faith with others, we help each other grow in seeking God's kingdom. While some say that in this parable Jesus provides a rationale to help the disciples understand and therefore not be discouraged by rejection, I can't let go of the fact that the sower, or God, sows his seeds extravagantly on all four types of soil, not just the good soil. I believe that this parable shows that God lavishes mercy upon humanity by continually sowing the word of his kingdom to every single person. God's love and God's mercy are available to all, waiting for us to hear and to say yes. When our family lived in the Middle East in the late 90s, we traveled out into the middle of the desert to see the Tree of Life, a 400-year-old, 32-foot-high North American mesquite tree standing alone on top of a 25-foot sandy hill, thriving in the most improbable and unproductive of locations. I later learned that this tree has a very deep root system, tapping into an unseen water supply. As good gardeners know all too well, a lot happens to a seed below the surface. As we strive to know God's love and seek God's kingdom in our hearts, not only will we grow, but we will have an impact on those around us, whether we know it or not. It reminds me of the scene from the Christmas movie classic, A Wonderful Life, when the angel Clarence says to George Bailey, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives, and when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?" To me, this gospel lesson is truly about discipleship. As we strive to be good soil and follow Jesus, we will bear fruit and help bring forth God's great harvest. Where is God calling us to sow his seeds and share his love? Is it by joining a small group, by our faithful presence in God's house, or is it by reaching out in God's love to a friend or family member? Or is it by being open to a stranger? Years ago, when I was living in the Washington, D.C. area, I went to vote. And as I got back to my car, the skies literally opened up and rained as hard as I have ever seen it. Suddenly, a woman my mother's age knocked on my window and asked if I could give her a ride home. I, of course, said yes. To make a long story short, we talked for over an hour. She worked at the Veterans Administration, and I told her that I had just seen the 60 Minutes piece on her boss, Max Cleland, a disabled Vietnam vet who never let the loss of one of his arms and both of his legs slow him down. He talked about his faith and that despite all the setbacks, he had been richly blessed. I was moved. It was then that she told me that she had been worried about getting home in the rain and prayed, and that God told her to knock on my car window. Each day is a treasure. We are all fellow travelers on this journey we call life, and the challenge for us is to dig deep in our spiritual life and journey and to be open where God is leading us. This stuff matters. It counts for 100% of our grade.